they may hate us too. Don't forget, some people hated Jesus before they had even met him. We're continuing this morning in our walk through John's Gospel, and we're in chapter. But as you know, today is also the first day of December, and so we're going to also look at an aspect of the Christmas narrative too that fits in really well with our passage from John's Gospel this morning. Let me ask you some questions. Is it fair to judge someone before you have even met them? Is it fair to hate someone before you have even met them? Don't forget, some people hated Jesus before they had even met him. And in John chapter 15, verse 18, which is our key verse for this morning, Jesus says, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. Is it fair to judge someone before they are even out of nappies? Is it fair to hate someone before they have had a chance to speak for themselves? Is it fair to judge someone before you have seen who they really are? Don't forget, some people hated Jesus before they had even met him. And our key verse, Jesus says, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. Now these words appear in John chapter 15. And here Jesus is speaking and teaching his disciples during what we call the Last Supper, just hours before his arrest and crucifixion. And as you know, wicked people are soon going to prove just how much they hate Jesus. As you know, they want him dead. And the Easter narrative is what we can call a juxtaposition of opposites. On the one hand, we have the hatred against Jesus, and on the other hand, we have his love for the people of our world, even those who are crucifying him. But we do not need to wait until the Easter narrative to see this juxtaposition between love and hate. It is all there in the Christmas narrative too. You know these words off by heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son at that first Christmas, Emmanuel, God with us, so that anyone who believes in him shall not perish but have eternal. That is love. God's love for the world. But many people in the world, they did not love God. They did not love Jesus. In fact, they wanted him dead. They hated him. And one man in particular judged Jesus before he was even out of nappies. One man hated Jesus before he even had a chance to speak. One man judged Jesus before he had seen who he really was. This man hated Jesus before he had even met him. What was his name? Herod. Okay. King Herod. King Herod was a man of this world. He was a king of this world. He was a king who loved the luxuries of this world and who hated Jesus. You see how key these words are that Jesus says just before the Easter narrative, but how they are fulfilled even at the Christmas narrative when he says in our key verse, John 15, verse 18, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. So I'd like to read the Christmas narrative surrounding King Herod, and Gabby is going to come and join me. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem, and they asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him."
When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written."
But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, you are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.
Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and order."
After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshipped him. And then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him."
So Herod got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my..."
When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious. And he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and who were 2 years old and under. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard, weeping and great mourning, and refusing to be comforted because they are no..."
Thank you, Gabby. Quite a story, yeah? Herod was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under. Why was he prepared to do that? Because he hated Jesus. How much did he hate Jesus? Enough to kill all the baby boys of 2 years and under in the expectation that he's not going to miss the one he's after. Because he hated Jesus. Some people hated Jesus before they even met him. The Christmas narrative that we will be celebrating over the next few weeks, the Christmas narrative is a beautiful narrative, isn't it? And yet, woven within the account of Emmanuel, God with us, there are woven within that some ghastly threads. We've seen them this morning. Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. Think of all those dear baby boys. Think of all the other mothers whose names don't get into the book. Other mothers like Rachel. All those babies murdered because a king of this world loved this world and hated Jesus. Last week we welcomed John and Liz, who spoke to us about the work of the charity Open Doors. Open Doors, the charity that support believers around our world who are persecuted because they love Jesus. Those believers around the world who love Jesus, should they be surprised that people hate them because of Jesus? Should we be surprised if people hate us because we love Jesus? And what about our children and our teenagers at school here in Brack? Should they be surprised if people hate them or marginalize them because they love Jesus? What did Jesus say at the Last Supper, just before the Easter narrative? He said, "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first." Let's turn, can we, to our passage for today. John 15, 18 to 27. John 15, 18 to 27. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. Look at verse 19. If you belonged to the world, it would love you as its own. We've got to understand, my friends, we do not belong to this world. We live in this world, but we do not belong to this world. If you belong to the world, Jesus said, the world would love you as its own, but as it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. We often talk about our God who is holy, and holy means set apart. But of course, when God calls us out of the world, he's calling us also to be set apart. He's calling us holy. And if we are set apart, then at times we will be treated as those who are apart. Sometimes people will warm to us, will appreciate our love, our kindness, our gentleness. At other times they will mock us, persecute us. Jesus says, I've chosen you out of the world, and that is why the world hates you. And Jesus says in verse 20, remember what I told you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name. do not know the one who sent me. And then Jesus said, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would not sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father as well. Not done among them the works my Father. If I had not done among them the works no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. As it is, they have seen and yet they have hated both me and my Father. But this is to fulfill what is written in their law. They hated me without reason. If we go back to Herod, Herod hated Jesus without reason. And the tragedy is that Herod could have been saved too. Herod could have become a child of God too. Herod could have chosen to receive Jesus and worship him and embrace him as the Magi did. But instead, Herod hated Jesus without a concrete reason. And here's the thing. When people hate us because we love Jesus, their motives will not make sense either. They may well hate us without reason, without a genuine, real reason. They will accuse us of being bigoted. They may accuse us of being narrow-minded. They may accuse us of being the problem. And Jesus says, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. But Jesus does not leave us alone. And the next few verses tell us this. We do not have to be our own solicitor. We do not have to be our own advocate, because Jesus has sent another advocate, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. He says to his disciples in verse 26, when the advocate comes, who I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me, and you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. So I would say this, let us welcome God to live in us. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, living in us, speaking through us. And let the Holy Spirit, let him be the advocate. There's so much in this short passage, John chapter 15. I'm just going to read it again. If the world hates us, we need to keep in mind that it hated Jesus first. Jesus says, if you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember what I told you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father as well. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. As it is, they have seen and yet they have hated both me and my Father. But this is to fulfill what is written in their law. They hated me without reason. When the advocate comes, Jesus says, obviously he was speaking future tense, but for us it's past tense, the advocate has come. When the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. Let's welcome God to live in us. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, living in us, speaking through us. Let him be our advocate.